That is my moment of zen every day. As I flip through Instagram reels.
Instagram.
Mommy, can I go on my Instagram?
Can I go on my Instagram?
I want to go on my Instagram account.
This is Connor O'Reilly, and you're listening to Unstable Discourse.
Welcome in to episode 11. Season 2, episode 11 of Unstable Discourse.
When did we start screaming the intro?
11-11.
We needed to breathe some energy into this room, man.
Yeah, fair enough.
This is the State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
It's the State of the Union of disc golf. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the disc golf world, good, bad, and otherwise. There's more disc golf being played right now than ever before, and there's also less disc golf being played right now. Is that a fair way to put it?
Kind of.
Yeah. Little bit.
In a weird way.
A little bit. We'll dive into that.
Also,
can we spend some time talking about how when I was younger, I could not tell the difference between the words onion and union and would mix them up all the time?
Yeah, we could talk about that.
State of the onion.
I just want to make sure.
That can't be real.
State of the onion. I have a Chicago Union jersey that I wore to a family get together.
See, I thought that was a Chicago Onion jersey.
When I walked up, my niece read my shirt to me and she goes, onion? And I was like, nope, that's not it.
This morning I listened to this song by Four Non Blondes. Was it What's Going On?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No, yes. It's not.
What's it called?
It's called What's Up.
What's Up?
I trust Jason on this
trivia.
One.
Trivia,
man.
It's called What's Up.
What's going on?
Everybody thinks that song is called What's Going On.
Disc golf.
That's why we use it for trivia all the time.
He's right.
It is called
actually, it was on, it was on Guitar Hero.
Now that I can picture it.
What's up with that, y'all?
What's up with that?
What's up? What is up with that? Yeah, I say I got Pac-Man fever and I got it good. Yes.
All right. Anyways, guys, we are back at the Delwood Disc Golf Shop for the first time since episode 1 of this season. It was 10 episodes ago.
It's been a minute.
Holy cow. When did we record that? February. Holy.
And it's the first time that it's just us four since episode 3 of the season. We've had a guest on every other episode so far.
What was episode 3? I don't listen to this podcast.
The shots and trivia.
You down with 933? Yeah, you know me.
Oh.
That's why you don't remember.
See,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's when Jason saved
the
us.
Water shots? That was episode 3?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Episode 3, apparently.
Dude, how much has happened this season? That feels like it was so long ago.
It does feel like a very long time ago.
Anyways, we're back. And in our roots, it's just the crew. It's just the boys. A lot's happened since the last episode. If you have been paying attention to Delwood, Unstable, Disc Golf Chicago, there is stuff that's been going on. So we're going to recap some of those things and also look at the greater, like the wider disc golf scene right now. Before we get to the State of the Union, let's do an introduction.
Yes.
We're at the world famous Delwood Disc Golf Shop with Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yes, sir.
Sean Callahan of Delwood Disc Golf.
Good evening.
Walter Cronkite.
Jason Callahan, a bag of tricks.
Macaroni and the chicken strips.
I want an explanation about that. But first, I'm Alex, Seminary of Disc Golf Chicago. Welcome in, guys. Jason, what was that all about?
Hey, Jason, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm starving now.
Yeah.
You guys don't go on Instagram Reels very much, huh?
No.
I've heard it, but I don't know the origin of it. I've seen that's the thing about like Reels and TikTok.
Right.
You see all these different things, but I have no idea where they
originate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did I've tried. I don't know.
Don't even know where that comes from?
I think there's just one kid that made a TikTok that was so excited about having macaroni and chicken strips for dinner. They did a TikTok.
That is one of my favorite meals.
Funny. I accidentally did my first Instagram Reels.
Accidentally?
Accidentally.
All right.
The other night, playing the back six with Nick and Nikki and Nick and Nikki.
Sure. Because
their last name is Ann Nikki.
Right.
As we all know. On hole 15, there was a disc in the basket of hole 14. Totally forget the name. Mark something. It was a memorial disc that was like, when you find it, play the next hole, leave it for the next guy.
Oh,
and then it carries on. And then if it's on the 18th hole, you bring it to the next course, yada, yada. I've seen it. It's super cool. Like to do that for your homie. That's too cool, man. And the disc reads on the back. I threw it on hole 15. It is a D-line Steady Ed BL putter. And I did get the birdie. I threw it and then I putted with it from there. Nailed a huge putt from circle 2. But the back of the disc says.
No big deal.
No big deal. The back of the disc says, in memory of Mark Lalonde, throw it and leave it at the next hole. Do not remove from Delwood Park. Do not take home. Keep a close eye on your loved ones and tell them you love them. So just saw a post from TJ Holgreffy. I hope that he's not mad at me for saying his last name wrong, but that is what the back of the disc says. Mm-hmm. So we found it, went to hole 15, and I handed Nikki my phone, and I said, just do a quick Instagram story. And she actually accidentally did a Reels, and then I posted it and was like, oh, well, now I do this. And I've done like five since then. So
what's the difference?
I'm doing Instagram Reels, and it's
a big Reels deal. Are super popular.
It's like
what's
TikTok.
The difference?
Yeah.
It's
TikTok. Also, a Reel is where you can play a music. You can play like music or some kind of audio clip over what you recorded.
Okay.
But I think that's the story, right?
It's Instagram. It's Instagram doing TikTok.
Sure.
But they all do that. They all kind of cannibalize each other.
Right.
It started with Snapchat, and then all of a sudden Facebook has stories. Instagram has stories. LinkedIn has stories now. Like they're all
stupid. My gallery app on my phone has stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll suggest us, and it's just the gallery app where all my pictures are saved, and it'll be like, we've created a story for you. And I'm like, the
Michael,
out of here. What? Who's gonna see this? Like, what is happening right now?
Only on my phone.
Yeah,
this is for you.
Stories
dude.
For me.
So bizarre.
That's what it's gonna be eventually.
Yeah, the robot.
We're gonna be look up dreams. We're gonna be like, hey, remember that one time you had that one dream? Let's watch your dream.
Let's watch your dream.
Oh, dude, Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Almost everything on Black Mirror will be a thing in real life at some point.
Yeah.
Did you see that computer aided image that they've taken from people like while they're dreaming? Like it's an image and it's very distorted. Mm-hmm. It's barely there, but you can see like,
Real quick. Has anybody watched the show Devs on FX?
Devs?
Devs, D-E-V-S.
Mm-mm.
Please watch that freaking show so we can talk about it. It is the best show of all time.
Of all time.
If I haven't heard of it.
I started watching it.
Mm-hmm. It's not the best show of all time. It's just awesome.
The title gives me
why didn't you keep watching it?
Dude, there's too much, man.
I know.
There's too much, and we don't talk about it. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
There's too much to consume, dude.
There isn't enough time in the day.
I don't know how we even...
Yeah.
Do you want to know why we have anxiety, guys? Because there's too many goddamn television shows.
Yeah.
That's the number one reason.
Hulu.
But then Netflix, it becomes like...
Apple TV. Prime.
Well, even with like Instagram and stuff, then you feel even more anxiety because you're like,
dude.
Then there's this follower that I want to watch their content because it makes me laugh. And then it's like, there isn't enough time.
Good thing there's
all the media.
As far as podcasts go, at least there's slim pickings there that you can keep up with all the podcasts. nice and easy.
Yeah. There's only us and three other ones. Yeah. So that makes it easy.
I just don't watch anything. And so it's easier for me. Hey, did you? No, I didn't. Nope.
On purpose.
You know? I definitely did not.
Actively deciding to not watch a single thing.
Yeah. I did not.
Oh, that sounds great. Such a serene lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Similar to what you said once upon a time when you were we were making fun of you back on episode 2 mm-hmm. when you were like talking about how every Disney Plus show is the best show of all time.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
You only make time for the shows that get you up out of your seat and yelling at the TV.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yes, I do.
Yep. For me, I pretty much only watch a show if I feel like it's going to make me feel something or really critically think about something. Like mm-hmm. I want to experience something I haven't considered before.
Okay.
And Devs, holy shit. I'm not going to spoil anything. I would love if somebody would listen to or watch that show and then message me about it so I can talk about it. It's an amazing blend of like sci-fi and philosophy. And
really? The title alone makes me feel like it's like the real Housewives of Orange County or something.
No.
No.
Makes me feel like
it's a cool show.
Terrible dude, title.
It just it got to the point where we were too busy to keep watching it. But what I did see was very cool. Like with the robots, right? Where there's like the robots.
Wait. There was...
There are robots.
Artificial intelligence.
In the woods. There's robots in the woods.
Because
right?
there were robots. Like
little snippets.
Then there were robots.
There were robots.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
For sure.
There was robots in the woods, man. What do you want? I don't remember.
Also, Nick Offerman's in it. He's got a super weird haircut, which is fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. There's a format to this show, right?
There was. Doing this.
We threw it out.
It starts supposedly with a segment called Fired Up.
Fired Up.
Shit.
Nice.
Ryan, what are you fired up about?
I am fired up that the Unstable Open 3 went off without very many hitches.
Mm. Were there hitches?
Barely.
Tell me.
A hitch.
What was it?
But overall, it
was... I don't even own a hitch, let alone many hitches.
Many.
What am I going to do with a hitch rack?
Yeah.
Stacy?
Are you mental? We broke up. Get the net.
Was there a hitch?
Don't make eye contact.
Huh? Was there a hitch?
Yeah, there was a delay because of like,
the weather,
camera.
Right?
Overall, it went great. I've heard nothing but positive feedback. Everybody that was there seemed to have a good time, except for about 40 minutes when it decided to pour what felt like about 4 inches of rain. We knew there was a possibility of it coming, and it kept pushing and pushing on the radar, and it didn't look like it was ever going to get there. And then all of a sudden, it was right on top of us. And that's what she said. And the rain showed up so quickly and it was coming down so hard that we had our siren out and were like trying to inform people that they needed to stop because there was lightning, that nobody could hear it. Even from 200 feet away, people playing on the
adjacent hole to Tournament
Central. Yeah, they were playing on like mid hole 9 and were still playing and couldn't hear that we were, and like we had to wave them down. So that was unfortunate, and the half of the field didn't get that notice, even though we sent messages through the PDGA app that they're supposed to get immediately, which they didn't. Thanks, PDGA. We'll talk about that at some point. Yeah.
Well, you know what you should do when that happens is just complain to the PDGA and have the entire first round null and void.
Correct. Yeah. Which
that was a burn,
which
for those of you that know.
Didn't happen to us.
Did somebody suggest that?
No, but that happened at a separate tournament that same weekend. No, otherwise, like, it was just about a half an hour delay and then things resumed. The rain just kind of went away pretty immediately. The sun came back out. Everybody finished play. Yeah. It was a great time for the rest of the day. The next day on Sunday was fantastic. It was hot as balls, but otherwise,
that was a
like,
hot weekend.
Yeah.
Hot.
I mean, the course played really well. Everybody had a good time. Everybody seemed to like the swag that I had out, which I was very surprised about because I bought a crap ton of discs, you know, so that because the first thing people do is go for the discs and they didn't do that. They went for the swag instead, which either says to me, I got really shit discs or people like my stuff, which I'm going to...
I think people like your stuff. Dude.
I'm going to make a combination of those two things because I've got a bunch of trilogy discs, but that is literally all I could have gotten. Nothing else was available. So
State of the Union.
State of the Union. So it went great. It's over now and I can look back on it and say it was another success. And we had a couple cool aces, including Jonah Burton, who's 13 years old and will not show an ounce of emotion, but hit hole 4 white to the B pin, which is the shorter pin, but it's still like 325. And just pure hyzer drained it.
With a sidewinder.
And the guys on hole 5 looked back from the tee box to see what had happened, and they couldn't tell who hit the ace because he wasn't reacting.
He probably just went back to his
really?
And the rest of the crowd was. And his dad got there later in the day, and we were all standing around, and he met his son, and the first thing his son said was, "Hey, Dad, sorry." Like,
yeah.
He apologized.
Like, he really is like a 13-year-old child.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We have had these other younger kids
yeah.
in the community, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we all know Isaac. Everybody's watched that kid grow up, and he was a cocky little shit because he was good.
Yeah.
And we've seen, you know, Ryan Mulder, who is his own unique personality, and around that same age bracket. And then Jonah Burton is literally like a shy little guy. He reminds me of what I think I would look like at 13 going and playing against literally people twice and three times my age.
Yeah.
So it's very funny to like see that happen. It's cool to also see that happen. It's I like that.
Why did he say sorry when his dad got there?
He just didn't know what else to say. Like, he didn't have a good way to react to, like, we would all jump up and down and be like, "Dad, look what we did," you know? Yeah. But he was just like, I feel like he said sorry because he didn't want the attention. Yeah. Like, he was just like,
"I did this thing to put attention on me."
Yes.
When he came back to Tournament Central right after it happened, I was like, "Yeah, dude, like, good job." He was like,
yeah, just kind of like,
"Thank you."
Waved
like, super just super shy. Yeah. It was adorable.
Great.
Yeah, in the best way. Like, the kid's a great kid. Obviously, he can really sling a disc, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in the future.
Who else aced?
Clay, aced hole 10, first throw Bielfus? Of the tournament. Yep.
Yep.
Just a skip ace on the shorter pin on hole 10. It was awesome. It was great to see that when everybody was kind of hanging around Tournament Central and like all of a sudden he drills that one. And then Colin Houston.
On 14, skip ace with an AVR.
Yep. Colin Houston skip ace with an AVR, which doesn't make sense because you go down the gut on 14. So he must have done some crazy little flip up hyzer or something. And if he had not hit that, it was going to go into oblivion.
Well, I have a feeling he went from really disappointed to the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Because to be low enough
Correct.
To skip up
yeah.
on a...
Yeah.
Downhill
and to have the momentum to do that, if he yeah. had missed the basket, it was
cooked.
It was going to end up in Homer Glen.
Yeah.
yeah. So yeah, three aces. It was great. The whole weekend was, as far as I'm concerned, fantastic, minus 30 minutes. And
I was really sad to have to leave. The vibes were really good. The weather was, it was beautiful.
Oh, and your video was great. You missed about 3 seconds that we had talked about that you didn't put in the video, but otherwise,
oh, yeah.
it was fantastic.
For anybody who saw the video, I'll let you know that I could have put Ryan's bare ass in the video.
Mm-hmm. You totally could have, yeah.
I could have. And I don't know.
Inappropriate.
I got there first thing in the morning and he's already got the drone and he's already like, it's in my eyebulls. And I'm like, it's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I'll just get that shit out of my face. And yeah. he's like, do some setting up. Make it look like you're setting stuff up. I don't have anything yet because Sean's got all the tents.
He just turned around and dropped the shorts.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, sure. Perfect. I'll try and set things up. So he backed the drone up a little bit and I just dropped him and said, here. Set this up. This. Yeah.
That's going to go on the album.
Suck on this.
Yeah.
I would like to take a second to shine a light on the shirts that you made because.
Yeah.
The player pack shirts were cool.
The back of that shirt.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. That was cool.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put it on the front.
The vibes were just really great that morning. Everybody was fired up to be there.
Yeah.
It's the same as when I was there last year.
Yep.
Weather looked great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole setups looked great. Yeah, it was hot, but like the feather flags were barely flapping because there was like no wind.
Yeah, it must have been great to play yeah. other than the heat at
Every
Highland
hour
because
on the hour there was a nice little breeze
yeah.
once an hour
for about 30 yeah. seconds. And it was like, yeah.
For Highland, if you're going to play that course that is that demanding, not having wind is one of those yeah. things that you really want.
Pretty
so idea. we did pretty good.
No surprise. One of the things that I did not include in the video, but I asked a lot of people before they threw. What do you love about the events that this crew puts together?
Mm-hmm.
So I have some
oh, cool.
clips of people talking about why they love your guys' tournament so
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
I will share that with you later. Mm. Maybe we'll drop it with this episode when it drops. I don't know.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was just like another testament to you guys killing it.
Yeah.
And I know you love when we talk about you doing good things. And,
yeah, it's my favorite.
That's your favorite thing. All right, mm-hmm. let's move it along. Sean.
Yes,
Sean Z, what are you fired up
for? Sean Z. Hey. So
I'm glad you got that.
Hey,
there was an episode of Boy Meets World where it's like a happy days
yeah.
thing.
Oh,
and Sean yeah, is yeah. Sean-Z.
Somebody yeah. get electrocuted or something and it's like a know. Dream.
That sounds right.
So yeah. That's probably it.
It's like yeah. a dream sequence.
90s yeah. sitcom?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
it.
Sean-Z.
yeah. So like a week and a half ago, Sheila and I were like, we need to get a fence in the backyard. Let's do a fence. So we call the Illinois Fence Company and a guy named Nick comes out.
That sounds fake. Let's get a fence from the fence company.
From the Illinois Fence Company. They're not going to just take our money and run.
From the he made it up as he, like the yeah. Illinois Fence Company.
Crentis?
I mean, if this guy, if this guy's fake, I mean, he would have had to go a long way. He had like shirts and the whole deal. He looked very official. So Nick came out, measured. We were like, okay, cool. This is the style of fence we want. And he was like, well, we're not going to put it in until like November. So obviously that's the state of
yeah.
everybody's union, right?
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, that's fine. We just want to get this going. Yesterday morning, got a phone call saying that they are going to be installing next week. So either A, oh. that is their way of weeding out all of the bullshit because they came back and got a deposit, or B, a job was canceled and now we got bumped. Huh. Either way.
I like that idea though.
Yeah.
Offense.
Yeah. You need to do
way
that.
Yeah.
Sooner.
Cool.
So, you need a process for disqualifying customers.
I do need a disqualification process. Yeah. yeah.
But damn, they bumped you up by
two months. And it's been like one of those things where that was the last big project we did at when we lived on Bluff Street.
Yeah.
We had a super nice fence installed.
Right.
We had the yard for the dogs. We could let them out in the morning and just like, we'll check back in 20 minutes, guys. You'll be okay.
Yep.
And at the new house, it's kind of like, is the garbage truck coming, the mail truck, because as soon as they'll book
yeah.
if they see UPS.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's going to make your life a lot easier. That's,
yeah, we could just open the door, let them out, and not have to worry about it too much. So yeah. we're stoked on that. So I am super fired up on having a fence in my backyard.
Hell yeah.
So you're fencing off a small area of your big yard?
Correct.
Yeah? Okay.
Just like the back. It's a weird shape. You'll see.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Dude, Callahan Acres. I can't wait to see what you do with all that space. It's legitness over there.
It's slowly getting to the point where I'm realizing that there are chunks that are going to become fairways that will have multiple baskets,
mm-hmm.
like three really good actual disc golf holes, like scaled that you could like compare against a course, and then putting multiple pins out there to where you could run it around a few times and play like 18 holes with two different tee pads.
Dude.
I'm staring at the marble block, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to chisel it.
That is very
strong. As soon as the mosquitoes die,
yeah.
then I'm going to chisel it.
Nice.
Hey, Jay.
Nice.
What are you fired up about?
I am fired up about the Spider-Man trailer, baby. Ooh. I have watched it a dozen times.
I can't stop coming. It feels so good.
it's fantastic.
Greatest trailer of all time.
It's so good. I was so concerned that all of the hype around them doing a real Spider-Verse with Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and all that stuff was fake news.
Like, that's still the thing.
The trailer hasn't revealed that there's going to be multiple Spider-Men, but it has revealed at least one
way that bad guy
from a different universe.
Who was Spider-Man when that dude was the bad guy?
Tobey.
That's Tobey Maguire.
Tobey?
Yeah.
And which one?
That's Spider-Man 2. That's
Tobey. Tobey.
Yeah.
The only thing I've seen about this movie is that somebody said, there was a quote that said, who is not in this movie?
Yeah.
And somebody responded and said, Uncle Ben.
Got him.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
basically, Doctor Strange is in it, which means anything can happen.
Yeah.
You can tie anybody in from any other universe, because once Doctor Strange is involved, everything goes off the rails.
Yes. So I had a great conversation with Maddie today when I was dropping her off at school, because she's finally into the MCU. Like, it took her a while to get on board, but Jesus Christ, now it's all she wants to talk about. Specifically, Sebastian Stan is all she ever wants to talk about.
Who? Who's that? For those of the listeners that don't know, who's Sebastian?
That's Bucky Barnes.
Captain
America. Winter Soldier. Thank you. Yeah. She is full blown, absolutely obsessed with him. It's all she ever wants to talk about is how gorgeous Sebastian Stan is.
And how
she wants to watch all the Captain America movies that he's in and this, that, and the other. So
I don't blame her.
Yeah. She's super excited about the MCU. So we were talking about the Spider-Man trailer, and she had questions because she hasn't seen the Andrew Garfield or the Tobey Maguire one. So
all you really need to see is the third one.
She's
the
never
rest
seen
of them
the
are
first Tobey movie,
right? Yeah,
I saw that shit in the theater.
That was a moment. Yeah. That was like the one. I mean, there was X-Men. I think it was like the first. Well, okay, it was Blade was like the first comic book movie.
Actually, would you like to know what the very first Marvel comic book movie is?
Yes,
it's not Blade.
It's not Superman.
No, he's DC.
Was it
Aquaman?
Nope.
Was it Howard the Duck?
It's Howard the Duck.
Oh, that's
Howard the Duck from the 80s is the very first Marvel comic book turned movie.
Yeah,
the one that's like sparked the snowball to start rolling down the hill was X-Men.
It was definitely X-Men.
And then Spider-Man was the first big
standalone.
Yeah.
I mean, Iron Man coming around in like 2008, that was really like
really kicked everything into overdrive.
That's when they knew they had something.
Yeah.
That's when they knew they could milk it for every penny.
But what she had questions in regards to was like, she didn't understand the concept of like Sony owning a character versus Disney owning a character and all that. So that was like the meat and potatoes of the conversation was I was telling her how copyrights work and all that kind of stuff. And
so she
hasn't
companies
seen had to make
the,
friendly. Yeah.
She hasn't seen the jazz scene from Spider-Man 3.
No, she hasn't. I'm gonna have her avoid that for as long as possible while she's enjoying watching these movies. That'll be the last thing we'll do.
Yeah. You know how awesome everything is? Look at this one part that they really
Michael.
Up.
Yeah, that they decided to cancel the entire rest of the franchise because of. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, and
I've not seen those
last couple X-Men movies are pretty tough.
Dude, the jazz scene from Spider-Man 3 that's a whole conversation.
And it's terrible because Venom is a fantastic character. He was never given a chance because that movie is just it's pretty bad. Spider-Man 3 is, yeah.
Sucks.
And I did not see, were there two Andrew Garfield?
Yes.
Yes.
Didn't see either of them.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're just okay. Yeah.
But Tom Holland is the new guy, right?
Correct.
And he is so good that sorry, there's no need to see the other ones.
Absolutely.
Tom Holland is the perfect Peter Parker.
Yeah, yeah. His portrayal of like the innocent kid bumbling through all of this is so perfectly Spider-Man to me. I love it.
I have rented Spider-Man, all of his individual movies multiple times on Amazon because I always think, I'm not going to watch it again, so I don't need to buy it.
Sure.
And then it's like a month later, I'm like, I just want to watch Spider-Man again. God damn it. They're so good.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Unstable Discourse goes to the movies?
Done.
Ooh.
Done.
We'll do a little movie recap.
I don't think anybody will have a problem with us recording a podcast while we're trying to, while they're trying to watch a movie.
No, we'll come out of the theater.
No, it's not video, guys. It's just audio.
That would be a fun day to go catch a movie in the middle of the day, then come back
and do an episode. Here and just
talk about it.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex.
Thank you, Ryan.
What are you fired up about?
I am fired up about another new location for a course in Chicago. I spoke with Dana Vici about it yesterday. We are going to meet very soon to discuss. Oh my God. Ryan just pulled out a giant container of white cheddar cheese balls.
And they're so good.
And if there's one thing I like more than cheese balls, it's white cheddar cheese balls.
White cheddar cheese balls, yeah. I like how they kind of smell like feet.
I cannot continue podcasting.
So are delicious.
They are also resting on my balls.
Can I have?
Yeah.
Please eat them. Really? They're a gift from Large March.
I'm
going to
eat
March.
It right in the mic. Yeah.
Gift from Large March. Good. Just tossing cheese balls.
Man, Ryan just threw a cheese ball at Jason's face, and it landed behind my glasses. Right on his eyeball.
There it is.
Woo! Three. I got it.
Okay.
Okay. Let me get back to what I was saying. We found out on Sunday of the expo that there's an area in the on the north side of Chicago where there's woods, and there actually used to be a disc golf course on a golf course up there. And the like Parks District has been sending out a survey asking community members, what should we do with this space? And somebody was like, duh, they're asking, what should we do? How do we tell them what they should do? That I didn't plan on doing anything with that for a while because I just need time to recharge still. But that guy sent an email. And the Parks District responded back with, sorry, we don't have the resources for disc golf. We've thought about it. We just don't have the resources. He forwarded me that email, and I instantly called.
What are the resources he's referring to?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So I was like,
you don't have money?
Instantly, I called the guy who had his email address there, and I was like, I just saw this email. I saw your response. I'm not sure what resources you might be referring to, but let me tell you, the demand for disc golf in Chicago is very real. We're just coming off this week-long event, and I have a video, and I have all the evidence you need to see how much the community wants this. And also, you don't need to worry about resources. We will find a way to cover the cost of the baskets, the tee pads, everything. We will contribute the ongoing educational programming, and we will make use of that space in a way that no other thing that you could put in that area would utilize the space as much. I promise you this. And he goes, okay, honestly, sometimes we just say a lack of resources as a sort of catch-all excuse to brush things aside. I'm not the one who said we had a lack of resources. This came from somebody else. But I hear you, and it sounds really great. Would you put together a proposal? Yeah, obviously we can put together a proposal. So just tell me, what do I need to have in the proposal so that we can please all the people that are going to be at the table reading the proposal? You know, he gave me some insight. And so now the next step is for me to meet with Dana and Kevin Derrick, and we'll put together a proposal. And then we'll send that off, and we'll see what happens. All the stars feel like they're aligning right now with all the momentum we have. And they're asking, what should we do with the space? And we have all the resources to like just make it a freaking ground ball to them. All you got to do is say, yes, you can do it, and we'll make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Man, I love all of these different ways to disqualify people. No, I don't have the resources.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do it. It'll be November. Like, these are great. Yeah. I'm going to start using these
learning
for sure.
So much. Mm-hmm. We don't have the resources. And then tells you that he just says that sometimes?
Yeah.
That is so
fucked
up.
It was a pretty bizarre thing to be like,
we were just being dicks. To admit that, I just lied to you because he was like,
that's not my answer. That's just sometimes what the...
That is a board of directors move for sure.
Yeah. Right.
Like, nah.
But yeah, we can definitely get the resources and make it super easy. And the space it's the woods. Like, it's the space to make a legit course.
Is this, what is the guy that was at the expo that was to Ryan's left?
That is Kyle Aldrich of Fulton Grace Realty. Yes. That is the exact area where he was saying we should talk about doing something. Did he post photos of that? I'm not sure.
I think he did. This is on the north side, and he posted photos to Facebook on what Facebook page that is Disc Golf
City related. City Limits Disc Golf City is Limits. The thing he's starting. Yeah.
He posted photos of the space you're talking about, and it looked sick.
Definitely. It's like, it's not just some, you know, we can get a little rinky-dink nine hole here.
Yeah.
We can make a legit course there. I'm fired up.
Yeah, let's do it.
For sure.
And rinky-dink, is this an official disc golf term? Or?
Yeah.
It's like Shrinky Dinks.
I was trying to figure out how to make a Shrinky Dinks joke. What was the Shrinky Dinks logo? Are there like little jingle?
Shrinkadinks. I love to make them shrink.
That Seriously. Ain't it. That is not it.
It's 100% it.
No, it's not.
Michael.
Google it, man. I'm telling
you. I'm going to find it and I'm going to put it behind what you just sang.
Shrinkadinks. I love to make them shrink.
I hope you're right.
I'm telling you.
I have my doubts.
The things I've had people test me, the things that I have stored in my memory bank from our childhood, I've had people like just come up to me and be like, the theme song for this show, and I can just sing it.
I was pretty blown away when you nailed the DuckTales theme song.
Aren't you worried that there is space that you could be using for something else? And instead,
it's not, I'm not actively choosing to memorize the theme song to Gummy Bears, but it's there.
Gummy Bears.
Bouncing here and there and everywhere. I can just. I can just do that. I don't want to do that. I'd rather have
messaging
somebody's phone number memorized in that spot in my bank, but I don't. That's where the Gummy Bears theme song sits. Yeah. I cannot help it.
Wouldn't change a thing about you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Let's get to the old Callahander rundown.
Oh, holy hell.
We're whispering about eating cheese balls. We did the rest of the episode as a whisper.
That'd be my favorite.
Yeah.
What is it called again? MSRP? What is it called?
What? MSG?
No.
Michael.
Whispering in the mic?
PTA.
No. Oh, ASMR.
MSRP, yeah.
Yeah, MSRP.
Manufacturer's suggested retail price. Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. Oh, Sean.
Shit. Here we go. Callahander. Second half of summer. It's really getting into like the third edition, V3, if you will, of the Callahander rundown. We've gotten past a few. We've gotten past states. I'm watching these guys throw cheese balls in their mouths. Still hasn't gotten one. I'm not going to start until he catches one. I'm really not going to start the Callahander. Nope. Okay, now we can start. The Funk 2 Electric Boogaloo is live and still has spots. That is coming up quick. That is on September 4th and 5th.
Not this weekend. 8 days.
It is the weekend after that. Mm-hmm. It'll be the weekend after this episode airs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you still want to get in, and there's still spots, talk to your boy, Corey Simonich. He is the TD, and he will get you hooked up. That is one round at Highland and one round at Trinity.
Funky.
After that, 35th Shanahan Classic event will go live tomorrow. So it will already be live. This will be past tense.
It will have been live.
August 27th. And that is on Saturday and Sunday, September 25th and 26th. Everything is locked in. Player packs have been purchased. Half of them anyway. We haven't talked about shirts yet, but I'm sure we'll get to that. We know a guy.
Mm-hmm.
J-Town Championships. That'll go live on Friday, September 17th. The event is on October 16th and 17th. We were going to do a 3-day B-tier. We are no longer doing a 3-day B-tier. But I might do a flex start on the Friday and then just do J-Town Championships Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do the flex start.
Yeah.
Just for shits and gigs.
We did a flex start for Clash Ams, and it was a great time for people that were coming into town.
And we can do player packs that way.
Yeah, right.
So a player pack pickup. So let's officially put it on the Callahander rundown.
You did.
Just now.
You have done it.
So on Friday, October 15th, we will do a flex start where you can pick up your player pack for J-Town Champs, which is on the 16th and 17th. So there you go. It's official. It's on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Callahander. This, of course, is all unofficially brought to you by
DiscGolfScene.com.
Come on, Pete.
How great was that moment?
The whole crowd.
At the live episode. I'm so glad you remembered to do that.
The whole crowd.
I really wanted that to happen. Cool.
We still need to figure out what his sponsorship is going to mean.
We should do it for J-Town Champs. Yeah.
Callahander Rundown. Thank you, Pete, and thank you, Sean. Time for Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth.
Wayne's World.
Wait, I love when it goes all corporate.
Party time. Excellent.
Anyways, let's get into the local route.
Sure.
Ryan, who do you want to shout out this week?
Nobody.
Nobody. Okay, then. Sean, who you want to shout out on the old local route?
Jason can go.
Okay.
I have somebody. You guys want me to take it? I'm ready now.
Go ahead.
All right. Did we call Corey the new kid on the block? Was that the title of his
episode?
Yeah. NKOTV.
Okay, uh-huh. That's what I thought. So that's who I'm shouting out is my boy. My boy. My little...
protege.
The Robin to my Batman.
Ooh. Oh,
that's a... That is high praise.
Yeah.
He's becoming the Robin to my Batman a little bit.
Okay.
He's in my corner. Mr. Corey Simonich. So obviously he's been killing it at the shop and doing a ton and giving Sheila and I some much needed time away as we transition into the new house and everything going on with the tournament season. You know, we always have a ton going on, and he is always willing to step up and change schedules, and he's just always on it. And mm-hmm. super stoked to have him as part of the team. He's also killing it with the funk. He and I went and played the Safari layout at Trinity this morning while we measured all of the holes so that he had everything for tee signs. So that was a ton of fun. And the holes are good. Like, there's a couple of Safari holes. Like, I don't want to give a ton away, but nines, short tee to tens pin with a Mando. A lot of really cool shots out there. I like how often he thinks outside of the box. He's still young and not annoyed with things, that he's always like, yeah, let's do this and let's do this. And I'm always like, in a way, we're helping each other. Like, yeah. He is reminding me that, yes, you do have to be creative, because he's creative all the time. And he's like a ball of energy, and I need to be around that sometimes.
Are you saying that you kind of come more from a place of like trying to avoid potential pitfalls or keeping your life a little bit easier as an event organizer?
Like, I'm always trying to go like, okay, if we don't do all those crazy funk like things, it'll be much easier, Corey. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, you know,
that dude lives outside the box.
Yeah. He's super stoked to keep doing things like that. And I need to be reminded of that sometimes, that like, yeah, you do need to chase things a little bit.
And the balance.
He's doing that with the funk. It's cool. He's stoked, and I'm stoked for him. And I love having him as part of the team. He's got such good
energy.
I like Corey.
Absolutely.
Dude, mm-hmm. He always makes me feel like
you had a long day with him on Sunday.
I should be having more fun.
You guys were together all day on Sunday in the shop.
90% of the 1% that I can talk about disc golf, I owe to Corey.
Yeah.
I can talk about just about 1%, but almost all of that is exclusively because of him.
Shout out Corey. I think we can all get behind that. That dude just keeps being awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go because Ryan, you don't have one. And Jason, I'm not sure if you have one yet, but I'm going to from the top of the morning. I want to shout out Parker Tytel. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Sorry, Parker.
Tytel. Maybe. I think
T-A-I-T-E-L.
Yeah.
Tatel.
Uh-huh.
PT Productions. How about that?
Ooh.
That's his YouTube channel.
PTP.
Make sure, after I finish telling you why, that you go subscribe and follow him. He's the guy that he did their whole recap video for Monday of the expo. There's so many things I can say about it, but first and foremost, he was willing to do it for free. First off, he sent me a sample of his work, and I was kind of like, you know what? I'm going to see. We have a couple other people we're looking at. I'm not quite sure, but I appreciate that you're willing to do this.
We don't have the resources.
I mean, maybe in November.
And then, to be perfectly honest, what happened was I saw the video he did for Dan Schlitter. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, dude, that is very different to what you showed me before. Like, that thing is on a other stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that kind of
thing. And now you're
for
worried
us,
about how much is it going to cost.
And I'm if you could do that, then let's talk for sure. And we didn't have much of a budget. So it was like, I don't know how we're going to work this out, but like, I really want to work with you. Let me see what we can do. And he came back to me after like a day and he was like, dude, I'll do it for free. And I was like, okay, that's all I needed here. You're willing to do it for free. We'll take whatever little bit of budget we have and we'll pay you. I'm just so happy to hear that your heart's in the right place. So yes, please. And thank you. And he showed up early on Monday. He was at every part of the day. It was like he was in two places at once. You know, he got the Uplay kids clinics. He captured that. He came by the podcast and got some shots of us there. Then he went over and helped us set things up, you know, when we were setting up for the event. Then he captured, I gave him a list of all the shots we needed to get. He got every single one of them. And when we were done at the end of the day, he helped me load everything back into the truck and just went so damn hard. I couldn't express to him how grateful I was in that moment. And then it wasn't that long later, he turned around the video and was like, yo, here it is. What do you think?
That's what amazed me too, is that takes a lot of time and a lot of work.
Yeah.
It just showed up.
Dude, he must have put 12 to 24 hours into that. I'm sure he worked like all night a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. Late nights.
I'm so glad that I didn't do the video, because I first thought maybe I'll sneak in all the shots I need to do in between all the other things I need to do, and we'll save the money. And it would have been such a piece of crap. And what we have now instead is something that's getting so warmly received by all the people involved. Mm-hmm. Like the marketing director of UDisc is one of those brands that's like doing their marketing pretty well in disc golf. he was like, dude, this is tremendous. We want to be involved big time next year. Who else? All the Parks District people were like blown away. Basically, every person in disc golf that was involved with the event that we sent it to was like, you guys are like really legit. A lot of that is owed to Parker's video. I mean, like, how else would anybody outside of the event have known what it looked like there?
Right.
Parker, dude, huge shout out. You have changed the course of what this event can become because you documented it so well. Also, shout out to Lauren Lakeberg. She always kills it with every event. But like, her photos also did the same thing, like showed what it was kind of like to be there. And both of those people made such a big difference into what we can do for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already talking to Parker about the next video project, which is going to be a sort of, well, I'll wait. We'll drop that as a sort of a surprise when that comes. But shout out to you, Parker. Thank you for everything. And guys, please support him. He's growing his own little brand. It's PT Productions on YouTube, and he's going to do a lot of really cool stuff. So please give him a follow and support him.
Do it.
That's great. And actually, if we have a second, I did think of a local route.
Please.
Yeah. It's not anybody specific, but you talking about the long Sunday I had with Corey the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Last Sunday, there was about a half dozen or so people that I was ringing up, and I was like, all right, a maiden and a genius. All right, your total's 1973. And then as they're handing me their card, they're like, dude, I believe in aliens too. And would hand me their card, and I was like, yes!
Who was it?
I don't know. It was just like random people throughout the day. It happened about half a dozen times, five or six times.
Sweet.
There were people that were like, yeah, dude, I believe in aliens too, just so you know. And like, people I don't even know, people I didn't know that they knew who I was,
right,
were just like, that they had listened and liked it and had that subtle thing, and it was like cracking me up all day.
I love so that good. You had people answer that before they asked their questions at the
show. Yeah, that's pretty
and
great.
Some of the answers some people gave were like, are aliens for sure? Ghosts
don't be ridiculous, right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
So that was pretty great to have that happen. Yeah. So that's my local route shout out, is the five or six dudes that let me know when they were here on Sunday that they believe in aliens too. Because that was awesome.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's time to say a couple nice things about our sponsors. First and foremost, Ayo the Mortgage Pro. Ayo.
Whoa.
You know him. He is our favorite disc golfing mortgage broker, and he's your go-to contact for any mortgage questions. If you want to buy a home now, next month, or even next year, give him a shout out, and he'll walk you through the whole process so you know what steps to take, and he'll get you pre-approved in minutes. If you already own a home, you can hit him up for your annual mortgage review and see how you can save money both monthly and long-term. He can even help you use the equity in your home to free up cash for renovations, paying off debt, or new discs and tournaments and bags and all the other stuff we know you really want.
Mm-hmm.
He is very down to earth, and he loves taking care of the disc golf community. Just ask the many people who have already worked with him. You can find him on the course or hit him up on social media at AO the Mortgage Pro. And here's my favorite part. Mention Unstable Discourse and you'll get a free travel basket after closing.
That's a big deal.
Damn,
son.
Yeah.
Actually, Liz and I are about to buy. We're going to start.
Ooh.
You kind of inspired me because the housing market is terrifying right now. But if you're willing to go for it, I don't know. Again, it's the big brother vibe. I'm like, if Ryan's willing to do it,
Michael,
I can do it too.
I didn't say we're going to. I said we were thinking
you're
about
thinking
it.
About it. I'm thinking about it too. So I actually got to hit up Andy and get pre-approved so I can go back to my potential agent. I actually called my agent the other night and she said, are you pre-approved? And I said, I can be in minutes.
In minutes.
Let me just
because I know a dude.
So shout out to AO the Mortgage Pro. And then we need to start doing this on every episode. We need to thank Unstable Disc Golf Gear, which is the reason why we have this show.
Huh.
So shout out to Unstable Disc Golf Gear. They manufacture, Ryan manufactures.
Are you gonna read the thing made for you to read for the episode?
Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
No, I'm not
going to
do that.
It's in Ryan's basement and he makes these t-shirts.
Yeah.
Ryan Fancher, Unstable Disc Golf Gear, makes some of the best looking and feeling apparel in the sport. He makes also all the trophies and he cares a lot about what he's doing. He pours his heart and soul into everything he does. He has a real emotional connection to the products he's making and he's local. You got to support local. Anybody who's worn Unstable Disc Golf Gear knows, you know, the slogan, look good, feel good, play good. That's what he wants to help everybody do. So get yourself some Unstable Disc Golf apparel here at the shop, readily available, and he can even do some custom things if you need them.
Is but he's currently true? Out That's of resources true. And yeah. won't have them until November.
Yeah, don't hit him up until November. you'll hear why shortly.
Yeah.
So thank you to AL the Mortgage Pro and Unstable Disc Golf Gear. And we'll be right back.
After these messages.
We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
It's time to get into the meat and potatoes. The Batman and Robin.
Mm. Ooh, topical.
Relevant.
The B's and C's.
The B's and C's.
Should we finally reveal what the B's and C's are?
No. Never. No.
No.
Never.
No, all right. No.
Slide into my DMs if you have a suggestion as what the B's and C's are.
It's time for the heart of this episode, the State of the Union, and I hope you drop like presidential music playing behind me saying
that. I think we're going to call it the State of the Onion just the because State it's funny. Onion.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
All right, the State of the Union is a conversation that we're going to have where we're going to talk about what is going on in disc golf right now, and we're going to do a little bit of focus on our scene, and then we're going to go wider to disc golf nationally / maybe even internationally.
We'll see.
We'll see where it goes. But the State of the Union, I think, is usually delivered by a president, and there's only one president in this room.
Mm-hmm. Put him on the spot.
Oh, you're looking at me, huh?
Yeah, I see.
So the idea for this episode kind of started when we were like, there's a lot happening in disc golf right now. It's kind of hard to put it all together into one topic, and State of the Union just felt appropriate.
Yeah.
Let's start with do you want to start with the explosion of disc golf, or do you want to start with the challenges right now?
I think we could start with the explosion of disc golf that everybody, we all know about it. We've all heard somebody say disc golf has exploded, and it started about a year and a half ago when it got warm outside during COVID and everybody was outside playing disc golf, and it was in droves. The amount of people that I have seen playing disc golf, the amount of people that come into the shop picking it up for the first time due to COVID. I mean, it's literally one after the next. That guy leaves, another guy comes in and says, I picked it up during COVID. And, what does understable mean? Like it's every customer that comes in.
It's kind of amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. There's no bad about that. The fact that there are more people playing disc golf more than ever it's outstanding. But there's a lot of probably more negatives than people want to talk about.
That sounds like a fine way to put it. I don't want to say it's not more negative than positive, but
yeah,
there's
just things that are happening that people don't want to talk about. We all want to talk about like all the, oh my God, dude, this is so great. And everybody's playing disc golf and now it's becoming that's amazing. But because of that, really what I'd like to dive into and talk about and kind of get out for the world to understand for say getting discs and having discs available for all of these new people. None of the manufacturers saw that boom coming. I'm sure they projected for normal manufacturing increase from 2019 to 2020, but none of them were prepared for the volume of people that were trying to get discs at all.
And if anything, I would say that maybe they anticipated the opposite. You know, a lot of companies were laying people off at that time last year. And like, how could you possibly plan to produce more inventory if you don't have the same staff and the same like means of people coming to work and the same means of production, like
And I hate to use the same phrase that everyone is using that I'm gonna puke next time I hear, but supply chain issues also like compound the entire problem. So not only can they not manufacture discs to supply the increased demand, but they don't now have any of the supply to do so, so it's twofold. So
it's threefold, because I've even had conversations with probably the biggest manufacturer in disc golf. I don't really feel like naming names, but their issue right now is that they can't even, they've done all of the homework. They've spent all the money. They have the machines necessary for molding. They literally cannot get enough people on staff to man everything that they have spent probably hundreds of thousands of dollars on. They can't get personnel. They cannot hire anyone.
Uh-huh. Why? What's your understanding of why that is?
I would imagine it's probably because of the unemployment everybody's getting. That there are people that could take those jobs, or they could not work and probably make more money.
Mm.
I would think
they could not work and make more money, and Well, this is an international problem right now, too, because...
Yeah, it's everywhere. You see it everywhere.
Because not only are they getting the unemployment, but now unemployed people are now realizing that they can demand higher wages, and they're just going to wait it out until they see that. It's only going to get worse for employers. There's no other choice.
I would not have anticipated... This is a surprise to me. I thought the problems were... I didn't think it came down to them not being able to get employees.
Yeah.
That's something that I've only heard from one company, but it was a very big company.
Well, I would have assumed it was more like, you know, I assume there's a lot of international shipping when it comes to just the components to make a disc or to make baskets and, you know, all that stuff. I just assumed supply chain issues, meaning some of these factories were shut down because of COVID and now they... are having a hard time.
It's like all of them have had all of those reasons at different times, right? Because there are so many different reasons and all of them, you know, like let's say Discmania, for instance, everything is coming from overseas now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's holdups, then there's just not product.
Yeah.
So the interesting problem that kind of sparked our interest in talking about this is there's this boom. Tournaments are filling up, like even little tournaments, our little 72 person tournament, at the same exact time as Illinois State, which had, around 400 players?
400 and something.
Mm-hmm. You know, filled out, sold out pretty much immediately. And so the boom and the demand is there, but then how do the event organizers put together a decent players pack if they can't get their hands on plastic for everybody?
Yeah. Well, that was a serious issue when I was thinking about the Unstable Open 3 and payouts, because as much as I love the stuff that I print and all that, but we have to have discs. It's a disc golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But there was not going to be a choice. I did find that I could get some discs from Dynamic Discs, but their order form was almost entirely grayed out. So what I had to choose from, I picked everything I could, and it was, you know, six different molds of discs and slim pickings, but I'm glad that I could. But everyone just has to understand.
Sure, but it was scary. It was like, you were telling me beforehand, like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
No, yeah, we didn't think that we had a choice. I didn't know if I was just going to have to buy a bunch of stock from Sean and then, you know, do it that way, because that was really going to be, you know, the last ditch effort to try and get discs to people, which would have sucked. But, you know, at least he's got enough stock here. But it's just so funny to think that there have been so many problems from all the manufacturers, and with all those problems, they've got every retailer and every consumer just beaten down their door wanting their product, and they just can't deliver. So
just can't. They're just not there.
It's crazy.
So the shop looks pretty fully stocked right now, but I mean, I have
I'm
to think.
I'm a hustler, baby. Come on.
Michael.
What do you think this is? Was it like this? I feel like you probably just got restocked recently or something, right? Or
I'm a hustler.
It's you stay steady stocked.
I buy discs every day.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Take a minute to talk about that, because the day that we recorded the live episode, I met you at your house and we carpooled, and you were placing an order that morning, and you were kind of telling me about that process, and I found it fascinating.
That was, I believe that was an MVP order that was a time sensitive thing.
Yeah.
Do you recall me saying what it was? Because I do it so often that I can't keep
I don't remember exactly what it was, but you said there was basically like a 6-minute window that if you didn't place an order, you weren't going to be able to. You talked about how tight that window was.
I think it was MVP, and it wasn't. It was time sensitive in the fact that I needed to do it then because I didn't want to wait.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really like, okay, now I'm remembering. It was Dynamic Discs. It was time sensitive. The way that they have discs go live. So they've got an ordering portal website for all the wholesalers where everything is there, and everything goes live at between 4 and 6 a.m.
Okay.
And they had put on their wholesale website that things were going to go live that morning, and I was sitting there waiting for them to hit. So it's literally just me sitting there on a website, refreshing, refreshing, refreshing to see the new inventory come in. And then you literally see those, because they'll tell you they have, you know, 99 plus of however, you know, VIP warships or whatever it is. Adding them to the cart does nothing for you. You have to add them to the cart and then also check out and hope that everything that you wanted to get was in that few minutes that you had as you were sitting the refresh. So it is a hustle. Like when I say that, I'm joking, but I'm also not, because if you sleep and you're not in this, like, in the know with all these different manufacturers and all the different ways, you'll just miss out. I mean, if you don't constantly check your email to get, you know, the email from DGA that says, oh, the new Matt Bell Pro Series steadies dropped, by the time, if I waited 2 hours and then responded to that email or sent in an order form, they'd be gone. Hmm. So
it's insane to think that retailers have to do that. That is what consumers do on, like, crazy limited releases from the retailer.
I mean, in years past, I was pre-ordering everything. It was easy peasy. I'm going to get, you know, I could place orders whenever I want. Like right now with Innova, I can place a 600 disc allotment order once a month. That seems like a lot, but those discs are for the most part gone after 2 weeks.
You're a special case because you're on a disc golf course and you've built this incredible brand. So the shop stays fairly busy. And I don't know if that's the case for other retailers. You know, I don't know how many other brick and mortar retailers there are, but
not a ton, but more than you'd think.
Are there any that you know of that are just not keeping up with the hustle and not doing well right now? We don't need to talk about
I hear the gripes from other dealers for sure. Like there's a couple of Facebook groups where dealers are talking to dealers and it's cool. That's, you know, like how else could we know? It's such a unique thing, right? Like to be a disc golf brick and mortar retailer.
So niche.
Like, it's so niche, but like we have our little groups where we talk and there's some guys that I talk to. Probably my biggest confidant with what I'm doing is Mike Batka up at Glide Disc Golf in Madison, Wisconsin. Great dude. Probably one of the reasons why I got into what I'm doing now after seeing what he had going on. And he and I talk all the time and like we do the homie messages like, hey man, this just went live, get on it. You know, like we always hook each other up. But there's a lot of people out there that you don't see them adapting. Why would you think there'd ever be a situation where you don't have to adapt? Like this is just part of it. Like it's as a result of COVID and all these things. Sure. Like we have reasons, but like, it's just adapting, man. Like whatever it is, you have to adapt and just go with the flow. So
adapt or die is like the subheading of every business.
Well, I feel like that is the entire state of the union. I will bring it up later, but adapting to all of this growth and lack of product and all of that is imperative.
So. I mean, there's tons of situations where, you know, obviously we have a ton of Discmania discs in here. I'm a Discmania ambassador and there's releases where things will come out and every dealer is only allowed to get 20 of the new Night Strikes, you know, and I'm just like, okay, I can only get 20, man. Like it is what it is. Like being upset about it is certainly not going to change a single thing about it. But there are a lot of other retailers that I see just like lighting up the forums and lighting up the Facebook posts and just like
mad that they're
throwing these manufacturers under the bus and going like, I can't believe I can only get 20. It's like, man, I'm like,
do you think they're not doing their best?
It's like, it is what it is. And I understand what those guys are doing. They are only getting so many discs and they're going, well, we literally can only give each one of these, you know, if we're taking care of everybody, that number looks more like 20 instead of 100. And I'm going, okay, I understand.
Well, one of the things they could do is probably tier it so that the higher end or, you know, the retailers that are spending more money get more discs. But then those guys that are complaining that aren't getting the discs, they're just going to get choked out.
Most of them do have tiers. I would say all of them. I would say with every manufacturer I order from, I am some level of dealer, which, and in most cases, because I always like, it's funny, again, being so niche is like, I always ask my contacts, like, but you know, I'll be like, seriously though, where do I rank? Like, how am I compared against all these other people who are buying discs that are, whether it's brick and mortar or online? And I've had most of them come back and say like, yeah, you're in like the top 50. I've had like Innova, sales rep at Innova multiple times. He's like, man, you're like the best in all of the stores that I deal with and all of the accounts that I have. You are the number one.
So this is interesting because you, with brick and mortar, you have certain limitations versus an online exclusive business. And we had talked really briefly about Delwood Disc Golf's online shop at one point. And you put a plug on that conversation real quick when you're like, bro, if I could get the discs that I wanted to have in the shop, let alone, you know, what we could talk about online when the inventory is there.
Right.
So I'm just very curious to hear what those online retailer numbers look like compared to a brick and, like, like this, yeah. for example. Do you have any idea? Are the biggest people on those lists? Is it the online retailers?
I'm sure that it's the bigger ones like Infinite and
Marshall Street's got to be one.
Marshall Street's. I mean, they also do brick and mortar too, but they do a lot of online.
Yeah,
I would say for sure. I mean, the ones that have really got it together, but I'm sure that there are just as many online only stores that are just getting by and like they're doing their thing. They're probably not, you know, they're getting by, but
I don't want to think that there's a lot of them that are just dudes in their parents' basement slinging discs after work, but
Brando Commando.
Yeah.
I tend to think that that's probably a good portion of them.
I think that it through all of this, and I know in a couple of manufacturers for sure, they've taken steps to weed those out.
Good.
And also been transparent about it and said, like, we are weeding out the people that are just, I mean, at some point you have to say, if your dynamic discs selling to Joe Blow, who's selling online, and they also have dynamicdiscs.com, your wholesale accounts are, you're competing with them. Why? What's the point? Mm-hmm. I don't get why. I'm not a big online guy. I mean, I guess I order discs online before I opened the shop, but I also was a huge supporter of Aces and Chains when they were in business. Huge. I was like going there multiple times a week. Unfortunately, he didn't always have the stock, but in any way that I possibly could, I was supporting that local business. Mm-hmm. And more times than not, I see a lot of people that come in. I mean, there's even all these newer players, right? This like, I don't know, call them Amazon generation disc golfers, right? Mm-hmm. That are just like, hey, just type it into Google and buy shit and it shows up at your house.
Yeah.
They even have come in and said like, oh man, I'm so glad you're here because I want to touch them. I want to feel them. I want to be, it's like a snacktivity, man. You know, it's a part going through and touching all of them is a part of finding the one that's like, yes, this is what I need in my bag, man. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I love being able to supply that to people. You know, I'm not out here just trying to make money. I'm like, I want you to have 600 hexes from Axiom to choose from because I love when they walk in and their eyes light up and they go, dude, you literally have every color.
Is the difference like, between just getting an Axiom and getting the one that feels right to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it like, just shows up.
If there's one thing I've learned working here that I regurgitate all the time, it's the physicality of the disc. I can't imagine, now that I know as much as I know, purchasing it online and hoping it works. Because that's not it. It's
the only
literally
reason I would think
like that, when I put it in my hand, there we go.
The only reason I could see that logistically working out more often than not is if I bought a disc here or somewhere that I could touch. And then it was so good that I was like, I need all of the rest of these.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
You know, and but you otherwise, like, I don't just scroll websites and go, yeah, that looks like a cool disc. Yeah. No way. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
That can't work.
Yeah.
With the shortage of discs, is it the same case with bags and baskets? Like, is inventory short across the board?
Across the board. Like, I just got these grip bags that you see in here. So Grip didn't have new inventory for a year, something like that.
Whoa.
And so when 2020 started, I'm trying to remember as I'm saying it, 2020 started, they rolled out all of their new inventory and everything that they had projected for the entire year was gone by like mid spring. So they were like screwed.
Shit.
Right. And that, so like, okay, good. We sold out of all of our product, but now we literally have no more product to sell anyone, whether that's B2B or B2C. So they were kind of scrambling, I'm sure, just like everybody else was in the shortage of, you know, materials and manufacturing and everything being shut down. So they didn't do anything until this rollout, which I just got and all the dealers are just now getting, which everybody should have by now or be getting it in the next few weeks. But they decided to, you know, rather than restock more of what they had before just to like get caught up, they just rebranded everything and came out with all new releases and new colorways and started doing things differently rather than me going on their site and ordering 4 AX5s in coal and 4 AX5s in smoke. They said, we're going to sell you packages of so many bags per package. If you get the highest package, it's going to have the best bang for your buck, right?
Mm, they adapted.
They adapted.
Yeah.
And they're selling me packages of 48 bags that are predetermined that include every single one of their models and every single one of their colorways.
Which you would have gotten anyway.
Which I would have gotten. There's some of the like smaller, the G2 bags, like the over-the-shoulder bags, I have not carried. But now that I am carrying, people actually are like into them. I mean, probably because of how many they've released with Ledgestone and that. Like now that's cool again.
I think bags. They're awesome as like, you know, if you've got your girlfriend wants to get into it, here's her bag.
And they're cheap. They're $99.
You want a glow bag? Here's your glow bag.
The one from Ledgestone that we got last year.
Yeah.
It was the one that my wife was like, yep, that's my bag.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like, they're cool as hell.
It kind of forced me to carry more than I probably would have. And I'm happy for that now that I have it in the shop.
Yeah.
So it's like all these different, you know, every single manufacturer, like all of the dynamic bags that I have in stock right now, they don't have any more of. I can't get more of them. So everything that I have is like they're out of stock.
Mm. Ryan, are you feeling any of this from the apparel side?
Oh, it mirrored exactly. In the last 4 or 5 months, every time I have quoted anyone, disc golf or just wholesale printing, whatever it was, when I quote anyone, I'm saying, hey, these shirts are in stock as of this time on this day.
Mm-hmm.
If you message me in 3 hours from now, that quote is no longer valid because those shirts may not be here. The hats that Sean has on the shelf right now with the patches was a fluke. Those hats should not have been in stock. And those were the only 100 hats that a supplier of mine had. And just to give you an idea, they have 11 locations. And the location that happens to be in Lockport is like the size of 5 or 6 Costcos. Like you can't see the other end of the warehouse, right?
Wow.
And they had in the entire nation 100 hats. And I bought every one of them because right now there is not a single hat to be found. I can't get a hat.
Wow.
So the fact that we got those was crazy lucky. And I like there's nothing I can do. I have customers that say, I want this sweatshirt and I want it in this color and I want, you know, this and these sizes. And I'm going to say, nope, you can't have sweatshirts, but maybe long sleeves in this color. Like instead of just saying, yeah, I can do that. Now we have to like bargain for, you know, whatever will work because at this point it is what it is.
So we have more people playing than ever. The demand is at an all-time high. And if you want to put on a tournament, you may run into some real challenges getting the player packs together from an apparel side, from the disc side.
Big time.
What is the like evolution? I mean, aside from just waiting for the, you know, the supply chain to start, you know, changing as event organizers, what is the adaptation strategy?
I don't know that we have one yet because we're still, there's still an expectation for people that are signing up for, like if I signed up for an event, a tournament, and did not get a disc that had a logo of that event stamped, I would be so disappointed. That would be like the only reason why I would be doing it is to have that memento thing to take home with me.
Correct.
So I would never not want to do that. So I will find any way possible. One of the pivots that we've done with Discmania, as we've, you know, I've been an ambassador. We've been doing all Discmania this year. I've just been taking stock stamp discs and putting corner stamp discs of the events on the stock stamp discs. And they're like, this is great. And I'm like, it's great on so many levels because A, we still get something that's custom.
Yeah.
And it's different and it's unique. And they can take it home and go, I played in this and whatever. You want to write in the back what your scores, your what place you took. God, I hope they do that because that's why I like to supply that stuff to them. But also for those new people that may be playing the event for the first time is, you know, I got a tactic and it's not a custom stamp. I know what it is because it says tactic and it tells me what the flight numbers are. And it tells me that it's a, you know, an overstable disc instead of, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen veterans of the sport pick up custom stamp event discs and go, what is this?
That was the store. Like the custom stamp discs we got for the Southside Glide.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, so what is this again? And I would have to be like,
was it here, the premium? Let me hold it. Let me feel it.
That's a that.
Was it the premium senseis?
There were premium senseis and premium majesties.
Yes.
And then we got...
They don't have any tooling on the discs.
Nothing. No.
There is nothing that says
what I don't know what weights we got. Custom, I don't know anything about it.
And I gave one of those to Gavin, by the way.
Oh, cool.
When he picked up the Gavin stuff, because you gave me two of them, and I kept one for myself, and I gave him one because he throws it.
Sweet.
And it is the same color as the one that he throws.
Cool.
So hopefully Gavin Rathman has that Disc Golf Chicago.
Yeah, that would be,
stamped.
Love to see it.
Premium Sensei in his bag.
Yeah.
I want to ask, like, can you see an evolution where people are willing to come out and play tournaments and aren't as concerned with getting a disc, where like, if you think about the most competitive sports, like I guess I hate that this is the example that comes to mind, but bowling, other sports where people are signing up just because they want to do something competitive, they're not getting a custom like thing from that tournament. They're just, they just want to go play and be competitive.
Right.
Are we on a path like that for disc golf where we see, you know, if you want to play in the more competitive stuff, don't expect you're going to get, you know, a disc specifically from this event, but then maybe there's the more fun events that is more of the focus.
No, I mean, that's why we have so many divisions. I feel like a lot of the newer and lower end players and the, like myself, professional rec, like I'm never going to compete at the highest level. Mm-hmm. I don't really sign up for tournaments for the swag, but I'm in that group where I'm never going to compete in a division that, you know, like MPO or anything like that. So I'm going to get swag in a player's pack. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people play because it's fun and not because they are necessarily competing to win.
Yeah.
They are competing because they like that environment, but they also do it because of the player pack.
And it doesn't help that we have guys like Nate Heinold who are giving out frigging grip bags and Zuka carts. I really think that is like not a good thing for the sport. I like Nate Heinold. I don't have anything bad to say about what he's got going on because he's doing great things.
Yeah.
But every time he does something, I'm just like, bro, come on, dude.
Yeah, the expectations
like,
are
like you're almost kind of like fucking it up for the rest of us because listen, man, everybody can't hand out a Zuka card every time they do a tournament.
Yeah.
Even if it's the biggest tournament that they do all year long, like
it does
it's not
change.
A competition, but in a way,
it changes the way you evaluate other tournaments.
Exactly. Like, everybody they go to Ledgestone and then you know, they go to the local C tier and they go, "Oh, I just got a, you know, this." And it's like
at the Illinois AM Championships for the last couple of years, I don't know if they still do this, but it's like $100 to sign up and you got a Chainstar Light in your player's pack plus a disc and like other things. Like you had to be getting $180, if not $200 worth of stuff in your player's pack.
Mm-hmm.
It's $100 to play the tournament. I would pay $100 to go down there and just play a 2 or 3 day tournament for the fun.
Well, that's why Ledgestone does what it does for the most part. Like I would guess 50% of those players are playing great, but I got a cart that I'm either going to sell 4 days later for higher than retail.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Or I'm going to keep this cart
all over
and I don't even care if I cash. So
it's just, there's so many different levels to it all because like, okay, the flip side of that coin, right? No player pack.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what no player pack.
That's what I want to talk
like,
about. Yeah.
Right. So no player pack, it's $60 to play an event. You don't get a player pack, but I still have to take your sign up and turn that into funny money, right? Because you don't want your $60 going elsewhere where everybody's going, they're doing math and going, okay, well, I got, if there's 40 dudes in my division and we all paid $60 and it's all going to funny money, well, then where, you know, why is it all not adding up? Because they will do that. And that's where, you know, you're going to find that there's TDs that are taking money or whatever. But the math is very simple for AM players. When you take the money from their signups to afford all of their player pack items and they get player pack items, it all makes sense. There are standards with the PDGA, but either way, whether it's a player pack item or their $60 minus PDGA fees, money going back into the pool that they're all playing for in their respective divisions, then they still need to buy things. So for guys that don't have a open 7 days a week pro shop that funny money could be used at, it's like, if there's shortages across the board is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you get player pack stuff or you have discs like Ryan had to go to Dynamic, not that they were a last ditch effort or anything like that, but you still have to have something for them to buy with their winnings.
Yeah. It's either everyone gets a player pack and then 40% get payouts, or nobody gets a player pack and 40% get the payouts that were equal to what they would have gotten in the player pack.
Right.
Like you still got to hand out stuff.
There's still stuff that needs to be exchanged because that's the way it works with the PDGA and AM players.
Right.
Can there not just be like all cash payout tournaments that are not sanctioned?
Well, sure. But then no one's going to sign up for them because they're not real.
Sarcastically. But
I mean, I'm saying
not
that
sarcastically,
but
yeah.
The way that AM players view tournaments. I mean, we have this conversation. I mean, all we are really ever doing is like, we're just a think tank where we are trying to always reinvent what we do.
Yeah.
With tournaments constantly. And we have gone down all these avenues of like, what does it look like if we do unsanctioned? And we hit these walls where we know that all of our regulars are going to go, well, it's unsanctioned. There's like this, this
there's only so many
connotation to this idea that if it's not sanctioned, it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not a real tournament. It's like Pinocchio, man. It's it's not a real boy.
There are unsanctioned tournaments that are great and people sign up for, but when you hit a limit where there can only be so many, and once more pop up, people are just, because they're not real, because they don't count, because the PDGA doesn't know, and they don't get a rating, and they can't compare it to, you know, the last seasons, and they can't do all, and like, in the end, it doesn't really matter, but it's very real to these players. So,
and I want to be able to provide whatever it is that they're looking for.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So if they want sanction, hey man, let's do sanction. But then we have all these other parameters that we have to fit within, you know, so where we can't do that type of thing.
Well, King of the Canyons is not sanctioned, correct?
Yeah, but I haven't done that in 2 years. I haven't done King of the Canyons in a minute.
But that was because of COVID, right? I mean, the people seem to love that event.
It was cool, but honestly, I mean, I knew that Clash, which was the sanctioned event, the sanctioned idea, right, was just, it was growing in popularity, and it was just a bandwidth thing. It was like, man, I can't do all this stuff at all.
Yeah,
I can't do it all.
Just asking questions, because...
Absolutely. You know. I mean, there's so much of it that I feel like people don't really have a full grasp on all of the things. And it's not a tooting our own. It's just there are things that happen that people don't understand. I mean, you know, getting back to disc manufacturing and stock in the shop. I mean, when people come into the shop and they go, well, you don't have insanities. And I'm like, okay, but how much time you got? Because I'm going to hit you with 20 minutes of why I don't have insanities, because you think that it's just open the door. And surely he's going to have 50 insanities. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, it's not that I don't have insanities. It's that MVP doesn't have insanities for me to buy from them. And they just kind of look at me like, well, what do you mean? Because I think in most consumers' heads, I think that they think that MVP's warehouse is full of insanities.
It's like going to Jewel and like,
but
hey,
not.
Go get a gallon of milk because there's a wall of milk.
That's the corner where you go get the milk. There's always milk there. Well, that's what they think.
Go to the milk corner.
You just go to the milk corner and you get milk. You go to the insanity section and there's insanities, but there aren't. And using MVP as an example, because I constantly have people coming in and they're constantly looking for discs like insanities, and I have to explain this all to them. And this is what I say is like, they don't have them. They produce maybe 5 molds at a time in a couple of different plastics. Those get released and those sell out. And then we wait until the next time they do 5 more in 5 different plastics. And that's really the state of it now. That's the state of the onion, is that they get produced, they get sold, and then we wait. They get produced, they get sold, and then we wait. So the way that I'm purchasing discs has completely changed too, where I'm going, okay, they're available now. I'm getting 100, as where a year and a half ago, I would have maybe gotten 25 because I'm going to be able to get 25 in 3 weeks when I want 25 more.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I'm ordering 100 thinking I don't know when I'm going to be able to get
just like the hats. We got 100 not knowing if we were going to use them, but we're glad we did because there are 0 now.
Yeah. I haven't had Lunas in the shop for a year.
Yeah, over a year.
In my Discraft allotment that I got this past week, there were 4 Lunas in there. I might as well have gotten 0 Lunas if you're going to send me 4 Lunas. But that's, you know, like with Discraft, I get 100 discs every 3 weeks. I have no idea what's coming. It's a mystery box.
Oh, wow.
And that is most of the dealers that I know. As far as I know, God, I hope that everybody's getting treated the same, because it would be real shitty if everybody was getting way more than I was. But but that's just to give you an idea. That's how that works. Like, why don't you have buzzes? Well, again, it's like going back to that 20-minute conversation of, I don't have buzzes because they don't have buzzes. Well, how do they not have buzzes? Well, they have the machines and they have the raw materials and they've done everything they can do, but they don't have people to work the machines. So everybody has like different conflicts and different issues, but it's fascinating and crazy and awesome all rolled into one right now with disc golf.
I don't want to say it's a good problem to have, but as far as the health of our sport goes, it's not the worst problem. I mean, there's just too much demand, too many people. This is a little growth period. I'm sure we'll come out of this sometime soon, and they will have figured out a way to keep up with the demand, because we all know it's not going to slow down. We're not going to, you've always said there's never going to be fewer disc golfers than there are right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of those growing pains too, and having to adapt, another state of the union is the amount of people that are on the courses that I am seeing. And I'm seeing what Sean is seeing with all the new people that have never played before that are coming into the shop and buying a couple, you know, discs and going out and playing. Mm-hmm. But I'm also seeing all the people that we know and that have been playing for years and years, and they're not necessarily meshing like I would hope. And I hope that is just, again, growing pains and that all works out. But it almost feels like a diner in a white neighborhood in the 50s and a black couple walks in and gets turned away. Nobody wants to acknowledge the elephant in the room, but all these guys that have been playing for years are pissed because they go down to hole one and there's a wait.
Three card backup. Yeah.
Because there's a couple families that have never played before. And guess what? That is what it is going to be.
Yeah.
From now on.
Also, that's what you've asked for all these years.
Correct.
Yeah, grow the sport.
Why isn't our sport taken more seriously? Well, now it is. And what that looks like is mom and dad and two kids on hole one. And they're just happy as pigs and shit to be outside and playing disc golf.
Yeah.
And the guys that we know, the homies, are rolling up and rolling their eyes and going, oh my God. And it's frustrating to educate and school our peers and friends who have been playing this game for a long time and going like, dude, you can't be mad, man. You can't be mad. Go to Highland or, you know, go to West Park or do something. But being angry about it is anti what we're trying to do here.
Correct.
That makes me feel like we're on the precipice of the private course that actually can do well. If there's enough players that are not wanting to deal with the public course and all the weight, and you care that much about the sport, go pay your $10 or $20 and go to the place that you can book a tee time and have a proper round like you want it.
Mm-hmm. I still think that we're so far away from that.
I mean, it's getting there.
It's the future. I mean, it is part of what the future will look like, but I still think that we're so far away from that.
I don't know.
It's hard to say, man. Things have been evolving faster than I think. I don't know. I just feel like everything keeps ramping up and the growth is exponential. Again, great. Mm-hmm. But the things that seem really far away, maybe they're not as far away as you think.
I think the rollout of what we are seeing in our tournaments that we run, that growth hasn't reached our tournaments yet, because all of these new players, it's going to take them a year or two before they begin to competing, you know, begin to sign up for tournaments and, you know, start competing and all that stuff. But that is coming, and it's only going to compound the problem, because now instead of a tournament that has 230 players that fills out in 7 minutes, there's going to be a wait list of that, or there are going to be multiple tournaments on, you know, the same weekends, and then we're going to run into problems there.
That's what's going to have to kind of give. I think that the PDGA has to loosen up and say, okay, we're running multiple events all the time. And it's not being upset that there's another event going on on the same weekend as you. Like, it's just going to have to be something that evolves and we get away from that.
Distances between B tiers and A tiers, and you can't run this while this is going on. Something's got to give. Go. Yeah.
There's plenty of disc golfers to go around. Everybody wants to play tournaments and everybody wants to sign up. So to me, that's so silly. It's just so archaic and like 1990s of them to continue to do that and think that that's what makes sense to protect some sanctity of
it did
something. It did
it when did, there was 20 a pool years ago
of 200 people in Chicagoland that played disc golf. Mm-hmm. Now I could name 200 people that will be here tomorrow. So
I don't want to attach anyone else's name to this opinion, but it is my opinion that the PDGA has it's been disappointing in so many ways. It's just not like everything is disappointing, but like keeping up with the curve, keeping up with the media, the way that they're running, you know, this sanctioning events. Like, there's not a lot of things I can point to at the PDGA that I know of personally to be like, oh, awesome. They're really ahead of the curve on this one. I mean, the live scoring thing is, I don't know enough about that to say whether or not that is or not awesome. I think it probably is awesome, but like,
it's 90% awesome.
Okay. Well, that's great.
It's solid, but it's technology that could have been around 10 years ago.
Yeah. They were not ahead of the curve.
It's not. Yeah.
Right.
It was essential. And that's, I feel like, the only reason that it happened, it was because they were forced to do that.
I mean, we've had smartphones since 2011.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're just 10 years later, we're using smartphones to their capacity pertaining to disc golf scorecards. Like, come on.
Well, you can cut that part out if you want to, but.
No, that's okay.
No, I mean, I would have to say this, that I don't owe any of the successes that I have found in running disc golf tournaments. None of it is due to the PDGA.
Yeah.
We utilize their rule system.
Yeah.
We pay them to provide a rating. Their personnel and the people that I am in contact with could definitely use some better bedside manner. But I don't ever feel like, man, if it wasn't for the PDGA, I don't know how we would have gotten through that one. Like, right. Anything, it's been the opposite. I don't want to throw them under the bus completely because, as we discussed before, having something sanctioned is what makes it real in most consumers' eyes. So it is a necessity, but I don't think that it's what makes what we do good.
No, but I think there's room for another body to come up with a sanctioning and rating system that is a little more straightforward, understandable, and manageable, and could give events that same legitimacy and that same like thrill that players get out of it.
Sure.
Because I agree that that's important. And I think you've said it. The players want that, but they don't have a monopoly on that. That's that can easily be.
I think the platform is there. Like the foundation has been there for years, but they are not doing what websites like Disc Golf Scene is doing, where if there's an issue, it seems like there's a new feature. Like they are, if not ahead of the curve, they are at the curve and trying to meet the demand.
Yeah.
Whereas the PDGA just seems like, again, like with the live scoring, they were only doing it because they were forced to. And
by what? By UDisc?
Because of COVID, because of all of the stuff. You know, I feel like it came out slightly before that, but it wasn't refined until everyone started using it because they had to. But there are still many bugs that we found out this last weekend that don't really allow it to be full featured and, you know, foolproof for a lot of people. And that seems to be what carries through the entire website and the entire process. How do you get a rating? What is it? What's the calculation for a rating? Yeah. No one in the world knows. I feel like there's
people
one
ask
person.
Me and I'm like, guys, I
don't know.
I don't know, man. I really wish it was clear and concise.
Yeah,
and
well, there's propagators in there. You have to do 10 rounds and some of them drop and some of them don't. There's one dude that knows what it is and he used an Excel spreadsheet that is 10 pages deep and now doesn't know. And I feel like that's the explanation that we're given.
And I promise you, listeners, if you know somebody that has told you that they know how it works,
they bullshitting.
They're probably bullshitting you because they're just going based on what somebody told them one time.
Yeah.
At Dubs.
Correct.
So relax on all the guys out there that swear they know how it works.
Yeah.
And that's not even the point. It's not even the point of like being a gatekeeper. The point is that the people that are coming up with that number are not being transparent about it. And it's getting to the point where it's feeling like it's starting to boil over and people are going like, well, why the fuck should I care about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I don't even know how it works, because as a TD and as a you know, somebody in the community that people listen to, I tell people don't even worry about it. I mean, worry about it as it applies to what division you should be playing in. But beyond that, make sure you're shooting better than that. And when you don't, then you know that you didn't play as good as you should be. If you're playing consistently,
correct.
That's all you should look at that as, is when you play below your rating, it wasn't as good as you know you could play.
Right.
And if you play above it, well, then hats off.
Yeah. But you cannot really use it as a comparison because you don't know why it's compared to anything else.
Right.
It just tells me that the door is open for a UDisc or a DGPT or somebody else to come up
with. I feel like
with.
Dan Schlitter should come up with something because he could.
He's an Excel wizard, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Probably.
But yeah.
Yeah. He probably already has.
The door is open for a more forward-thinking, tech-friendly company to come up with a way that replaces that thing that people enjoy about rating systems and does it in a more like understandable way.
21st century? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd really just love to see the PDGA just have some young blood come in and like rework it, because I think it's great that we have a governing body. I want to have faith in the PDGA.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just very, it's all the old school boys that are still in charge, it seems.
There's got to be somebody, somebody's got to be like, why is there still a magazine?
Like,
someone's protecting that from going away and from evolving.
It's all the old school boys, man. There's a lot of people who, you got to respect it to a certain degree, right? Like,
we're
those
here.
People got us.
We're here.
Here.
Yeah.
And we now have a complaint because of the amount of work that they have done, right?
Like, correct.
I've got all due respect to the people that have truly, for all the best reasons, built everything to get us to this point. But now we need someone who is going to, whoever's in charge at UDisc or owns UDisc, they need to be the ones in charge of making sure that everything moving forward is with the PDGA.
Pass the torch.
Yeah. Pass the torch to whoever's doing that stuff, because that they're on the ball. They're completely
exactly.
on the ball.
Exactly.
As things evolve daily, weekly, monthly, I mean, it's crazy the amount. It's almost too much. I don't even use it to its full potential because I'm a junior boomer, and it's almost too much.
Yeah.
It's almost too much, but they're like our regulars that come in the shop that are like tracking every single round and every single stroke, and they're, you know, they're going to all these courses and they're checking all these boxes and they're like getting accomplishments. It's like real life video gaming through this app. It's
I didn't
nuts.
Realize that. That's amazing.
It goes super deep when you have the pay version of the app. But yeah, I mean, that's how it needs to look. I've been saying that for years, that the developers at UDisc need to infiltrate the PDGA and make PDGA an app that is as user friendly as UDisc is for rules and scorecards and just all that it has to offer and all that it needs to facilitate a great tournament.
So I think we could put a bow on it. The State of the Union is basically the growth has been crazy, and there are things that need to catch up with how much it's needed and wanted from disc manufacturing, or actually all the equipment and apparel manufacturing. Like, we just have to kind of wait for that to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain, you know, tech things that we know need to be evolved, and we'll just kind of hope and pray that they're going to catch up.
Hoping every year, every spring is like, is this going to be the year where it's better?
Please.
Oh, just live scoring, huh? Okay. All right, cool.
But again, it's all because we got what we wanted. The sport grew, baby. The sport grew.
Beanstalk. Too fast.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's, I don't know about you guys, but I wish Jason would shut the fuck up.
Michael?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Please.
I really took control of that conversation. I didn't mean to.
I wish you would ask more questions about the things you don't know about.
But every time we do this, because I'm starting to understand more.
Yeah.
Like, well, I didn't have any questions about that conversation. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a time where I would have, but not anymore. Yeah.
And now it's time for a very special segment.
Oh, good.
It's a segment where we bring the energy down just a little bit.
Mm. A little bit more, Alex.
Just a little bit.
That's where I watch it.
Oh, man.
This is called The Rub.
Cool.
This is brought to you by Luxor Escape. And The Rub it's about self-care and really taking care of yourself and getting to that place of zen.
You can go self-care yourself.
I have been known to self-care myself, but that's not what we're talking about right now. What I wanted to talk about is I want to focus on you, Jason.
Oh,
Sean's older brother.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Sorry, Jason,
I was a little high there. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, thank you. That's good.
Oh,
what voices. Is there anything you've done in the last week or so to really just treat yourself and make yourself feel special?
Other than brushing your teeth.
Oh, well, I was going to talk about the new category I found on Pornhub the other day.
Oh.
That really has... No.
Okay. Never mind. I'm gonna change my question.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't have to be in the last week.
Sure.
What is something you do in general when you feel like you need kind of a treat? You need something for you. What do you like to do?
But what is the category that you found on Pornhub?
Lately, it's been Instagram Reels. It really has. Like, that is my moment of zen every day.
Huh.
As I flip through Instagram Reels.
Instagram.
Mommy, can I go on my Instagram?
Can I go on my Instagram?
I want to go on my Instagram account.
I flip.
Okay. Sorry.
I flip through Instagram Reels. And I have a good time with it. And I find things that make me laugh. I find out information.
Mm.
It's a good time.
You can just kind of turn your brain off and unwind a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sean, what about you? What do you like to, when you feel like it's time to really treat yourself, what do you like to do?
I just take a walk in Callahan Acres. What we do is we call it's a rounder. Mm. So Sheila and I, we will go outside and there is a nice loop at Callahan Acres where we take the dogs. And it's a round loop, so we call it a rounder. It's really cute.
I think we could all use a rounder.
Everybody should have a situation where they can go to a rounder And you just walk around and you just, Sheila takes out the phone and she uses the Seek app and she seeks plants and she gets her little check marks on her Seek app of all the different species that she finds.
That's lovely.
And we look for owl pellets and bones, some real witchcraft shit.
So for Sheila, getting in touch with Mother Earth is something that helps her center herself.
Correct.
And feel at ease.
At ease,
which
yes.
is what this is all. Ryan, do you feel at ease right now?
No. For many minutes, I have not felt at ease.
Maybe if we talked a little bit about what you like to do.
I like to go on the Instagram.
My Instagram account.
Okay. Well, that's just great. I, for one, like to go for a nice, relaxing massage. Particularly at Luxor Escape with Alex Nieves of Circle One, who sponsors this segment. So we want to say to Alex, thank you for your support. And we want to tell you listeners to treat yourselves and take care of yourselves. Go get that moment of relaxation and zen. And
where? I have one question.
Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
Where is Luxor Escape?
They're located in Tinley Park. You can find them on Facebook or their website, and they have a very simple booking process.
Can you book through their Facebook page?
You can book through their Facebook page.
Dope.
It's great. It's very easy. And in fact, when I was at an all-time high stress level just about 2 weeks ago, I scheduled my massage for right after the big event, knowing that that was going to help bring me back to a semblance of sanity. And I can tell you all that it genuinely did help. She actually put me to sleep. I was snoring by the end of my massage, which was a little embarrassing, but
are there amazing. Different, like, is it just like you go for a massage or there's
she has
different
these,
levels?
She has options.
Times.
For, you can go for relaxation or to you know, for deep muscle, you know, you have something you need to work out. You can go that route. She also has a CBD add-ons where she'll use a CBD oil. So you'll get some effects physically. And she also offers cupping, which is a very strange but ancient.
It's like suction cups, right?
That suctions. Shit ain't real, though, right?
It's been passed down for centuries. I have to think there's something to it.
I don't know about that, man.
But aliens and ghosts. Aliens and ghosts.
Aliens
yeah.
and ghosts are real. But
aliens and ghosts, for sure. But
using
cupping, dog?
Fire inside of a cup on my back? What?
I would do it just to try it. And so then I would send you pictures of
okay.
suction.
What is the what is the symptom that is relieving?
So in the same way that you can absorb things through your skin,
mm-hmm.
you can.
There was a bit of emotion there. But we'll let him continue.
I'm talking about you can pull things through your skin as well. So the idea is like if you have like a cold or you have some kind of toxin in your body, you can like. Pull that out, and they use like you know a suction method to do that. I'm talking out of my ass here, by the way. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm thinking that sounds right. We'll have to get in touch with Alex to find out for sure.
We'll have to.
Maybe she'll have to be one of our next guests.
By the way, I want to remind you listeners that the rub is a segment that is meant to help you all understand self care a little bit better and reach out to Luxor Escape and you know go try that out. But also to help generate some reviews for the show. Right now, the contest is we're going to run this to the end of the season. And all you have to do to enter is to write a review for the show and send us a screenshot. And if you write our favorite review, you will win a 90-minute massage from Luxor Escape, which is worth about $100. Right now, there is one person who's written a review. So if nobody else writes one, Max Bolin is just going to get a massage. He's just going to get it for free because nobody else has entered. So if you want a shot at that, write your review on Apple Podcasts or on Facebook, send us a screenshot, and you have pretty good odds of winning. The competition is not very high right now.
Yeah. Max does not want you to know any of this.
Sorry, Max. If things keep going the way they've been going, you should be good. All right. That is a wrap on the rub.
Thank God.
How would you feel about taking us into the old mailbag?
That would be a trip that I want to go on.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time. Did you guys catch that when I said that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to start off with a question from Chris Robbins.
Yeah.
Chris Robbins wants to know when and who is going to see how many throws it takes to get from the number one pad at Trindo to the number one pad at Delhi.
I don't know how many times I have thought about this, and I don't know how and if it is possible, but it has entered my mind several times.
We would have to close down roads.
Yeah, because they did, what was it, last year, like a lot of the pros did a, let's see how many throws it takes to get to a mile, like a mile's worth of throws, and they would continually measure it. And I think Eagle or Simon did like 9 or 10 throws, which is ridiculous. No,
absolutely not. Over 5,000 feet?
Yeah, they're throwing over 500 feet a throw times 10 is a mile.
Shut up, Eagle.
Yeah. So
okay.
When that was happening, I was thinking, I wonder if we could even do that. So I don't know what the answer to that is, but I am also genuinely curious.
That Ryan said everything.
I don't trust anyone that I know to not damage someone's property.
Totally.
While doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Chris. Probably not going to happen, Doug.
Fair enough.
I mean, we could do it, but something will get broken. Mm-hmm. Not worth it. Broken window. Broken car window.
Maybe worth it.
When I ask that question, you have to insert the owl from the Tootsie Pop commercial where he goes, let's find out. Yeah. A one, a two, a three.
Three.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
That should have been the whole answer to this question.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, next question comes to us via Adam Berkovic.
Yeah.
What kind of mold is your favorite disc to throw? Example, putter, mid, fairway, driver. Why do you enjoy throwing that type of disc? I feel like we've kind of danced around that, but have we actually landed on...
We've not talked about a mold.
Like,
a mold, right?
Specific discs or...
I think he's
either a driver, fairway, mid, approach, or putter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of those five.
Of those five, right? Putter, mid,
yeah.
Fairway, driver. Yeah.
I know what Sean's answer is.
I love to throw like an approach disc that I can flip. Like I love to sidearm a Comet. And like flip it up and just watch it glide for forever. Like watching a disc
like
glide
a
is my favorite.
Flippy mid-range.
I'm going to go flippy to stable putter.
Yep. I knew that's what you were going to say.
Like a sensei.
Yeah.
Name drop.
And I would say a flippy fairway driver. Big surprise.
Like
an FD. It's because of the way the fairway drivers fit in my hand. And I tend not to power grip. I tend to fan grip most everything. And a fairway driver in my tiny little mitts works perfectly, and so that's what I like to throw. Jason?
Jay? I'll TBD. Adam, I will let you know.
TBD. CBD.
CBD. CBD. Andy Pulaski has a question. He says that rangefinders have popped up quickly as the new gear to get in the past year or so. What is going to be the next disc golf accessory trend?
I don't know if there will be a trend, but I have seen on the golf courses, courses, that they are having the like robotic bag carts and things
James
like that.
James Heath was just showing me a video.
That will
on
just
Sunday.
Follow you around.
Yes.
And I know for tournament play, golf tournament play, they are not legal, but for casual play, they will be. And I wonder if something like that is going to start popping up where it's more, you know, interactive.
Me and James were talking about that, and we were discussing how, like, because of the terrain that disc golf courses is on, it doesn't really lend itself to that. Yeah. But I feel like the next evolution would be something where, like, the wheels can deal with the terrain, like maybe a three-wheel system that when it gets to a step, it kind of can go up the steps.
Or
and
like
stuff
a
like
Boston
that.
Robotics thing that just like hops.
Just, yeah.
Right? Oh, God. Yeah. Those videos creep me out, man.
Yeah. Very creepy.
Black Mirror, we're back to
it. Yeah. Yeah. The, where it's like a little dog and they can push it and it just knows to like
it get reacts back. How,
I don't like that shit at all. Yeah. I don't like that at all.
Devs.
I don't know what else, what other trends would be happening, but that seems like, you know, a technology trend would be pretty inevitable, I would think.
Yeah. What about like small, so small it doesn't affect the flight of the disc GPS trackers?
I think that's been talked about forever, but there's no good way yet to mold them in.
Because I feel like technology is just getting literally smaller and smaller. There's got to be...
I feel like, you know, those tiles and the little RFID chips and all that stuff. That it's getting to the point where we could do that. I don't know if you could track it, but you could, like, I think right now we could put chips in the discs that would be able to be found within, you know, 100 feet.
Yeah, you totally, know, right?
Scan,
yeah.
You couldn't, like, GPS them at this point.
Bluetooth it to your phone, I think, and then, like, it matches up.
We've talked about this, and this is exactly what I said last time, and I'm going to say it again. Disc golf manufacturers don't want you to find them.
Yeah, that's true.
Because then you won't buy another one.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun!
But sure. They're probably not going to make it to where you just have that one, guys.
That is half true, but also, if I've never lost a disc, I would continue to buy more.
Also, do you want to start paying $50 for discs?
Yeah.
Stock runs at least off my computer chip? What are you, nuts? How much you pay for that iPhone, dog?
What are you, nuts? Yes.
What'd you pay for that iPhone, dog?
But within a couple years, there's going to be somebody that comes out with that.
There would almost have to be.
Yeah.
I feel like it's headed down that path.
There's going to be computer chips and basketball sooner than discs.
I think bag tags could evolve next. I mean, there's already like digital bag tags to some extent, but they're still not great. That seems like a pretty, like, the gap between what they could be and where they're at now is not that far. There should definitely be a system to where anytime somebody exchanges a new tag, you tap to your phone and it updates, the whole club knows who's got what tag now.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I think just in general, like Ryan said, the technology, like, I think that U-Disc will become like a, can you believe there was a time where this wasn't implemented with every time we do this?
Sure.
It's one step away from being a social media, right? I feel like it's going to become that eventually.
That's actually, funny enough, disc golf scene started as a disc golf Facebook.
Really?
I still have my profile. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have a profile. You put like all of your information and photos. It started as a social media site.
It worked its way
to signing backward for tournaments. Yeah.
Come on, Pete.
Come on, Pete.
And all right. Last question. We got one more, and it's going to be a light one, and it's coming to us from Dick Pilch.
Matt Pilch.
Matt, right? That's not his real name. Matt Pilch.
Dick
Pilch. What are we going to do to make life better for JJ? He was thinking we could build him a little deck for him to chill on right outside his hole, like a 2-foot by 3-foot would do. Could leave water in his dish and pieces of fruit for him. Just a crazy thought for a crazy guy.
I like the way you're thinking, but there are already disc golfers that bring vegetables with them to leave.
Specifically for the JJ?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But the JJ.
The JJ.
The JJ.
I know it wouldn't go over, but I would not be opposed to building him a little lookout area.
Yeah,
right.
Because he already does it. Well, they, but he.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
The royal he.
The royal he. Yeah. Bring some carrots to your next round at deli, and when you see him, leave them, and he'll eat them up. Take care of your boy.
Jim Marks has a question. In the wake of the historic Disc Golf Expo in Southside Glide, how would you describe the current state of the relationship between the disc golf community and the city of Chicago? And in what ways did the recent events change and hopefully improve the state of these relationships?
I'll start by saying how things changed. Before the expo, we were pretty explicitly told to not talk about a permanent course. Like in our public external communications, do not talk about a permanent course. You can talk about bringing disc golf to Chicago. You can talk about exposing the community to disc golf, but like you had to kind of dance around any talk of a permanent course. And at the expo, the COO of the Chicago Parks District said very publicly in front of people with cameras, we're going to bring disc golf to Chicago. He said, we're going to bring multiple courses throughout the city. So we went from like, don't say that, to like him blasting it way bigger than we thought we were even planning on talking about it. So that was like, okay, that's a pretty, Paul was really fired up about that. One of the big wins is that we were allowed to leave some of the temp course up indefinitely. We were told, you know, basically holes 10 through 14, which is now being referred to as the Harborside, you know, course, basically. Those holes are fine to stay up indefinitely, and there's potential for that to become a very beginner-friendly, maybe 6 to 9 hole course. There's a parking lot right there, so it actually kind of works out really well.
Sure.
So that's a pretty big, you know, evolution coming out of it. There's another area that they're okay with us leaving baskets. The other thing is that the initial area where the woods have been getting cleared out so they could put baskets, you know, that was the first original plan to put baskets there's not even a name for that area yet. Like the Parks District is like part of the problem with us giving you the permission to put baskets out there is we don't know what to call that area. It's not labeled on a map anywhere. It's just some patch of woods, basically. And so to fill out the permits, you need to be able to call it something. So that's a weird little hiccup. That little project is kind of in, it's a little murky right now because they just started construction on the Obama Center, which is right over there. And it's all the land over there is kind of like politically gridlocked between a couple different groups of people, people who are concerned about the trees, people who are, you know, on the side of the Tiger Woods Foundation, the Obama Center. There's like some forces that are not necessarily in agreement about what should happen over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of deadlocked for a little bit, waiting to see what's going to happen with that particular area. But in general, the right people were impressed with what we did, and they want to see disc golf brought to Chicago. We're just going to have to work through red tape. And the time frame we always knew was going to be a long process, but we think the time frame is much sooner now, based on the COO's reaction. And then, of course, we have that other area up on the north side that we're going to start looking at.
That's great.
So we'll see.
And that is a wrap on tonight's mailbag session.
Wrap it up.
Let's do the pinned it moment of the episode, and then let's get the
Michael Scott
out of here.
Yeah.
Brought to you by discgolfpins.com.
Mm-hmm.
What is the pinned it moment of this episode? Brian.
Did you call me Brian?
Brian.
Brian Fetcher. Why does that sound so different?
Curtis.
Check your Instagrams.
Check your Instagrams.
My pendant moment is checking my Instagrams.
Yeah. Calling it Instagram from now on. Instagram
from now on.
Instagram.
Ooh, speaking of pins, we got new Unstable Discord. Unstable Discord.
Mm-hmm.
We got new. Well,
Brian ordered them. So
Brian of Unstable Discourse has secured some new Unstable Discourse pins, and they are unique to the last batch because they are a different colorway.
They are
blue, daba
cyan ish.
Yeah. What's the official name of the color? Do you remember?
No, I don't know what the official name of that specific color is, but I requested
cerulean
as close to cyan as possible.
They're sexy.
They're good.
Come by, pick them up at the Delwood Disc Golf Shop.
Come on by.
I reckon.
And thank you to Nina at discgolfpins.com.
Come on, Nina.
Come on, Nina.
Come on, Nina.
That's a wrap on this episode. As far as a preview for next episode goes, we ain't got one.
Mm-hmm. Nope. TBD.
Good luck.
TBD.
CBD.
But we, this was episode 11. Mm-hmm. Then there's going to be episode 12, 13, 14. So three more.
Uh-huh.
15. Same as last season.
Wrapping it up.
We're going to be the whole season recap.
It.
We're
going to cap it again. GTFO. So
three more episodes. We got a couple very interesting guests potentially lined up. I'm not going to say anything other than that.
Yep.
But thank you for listening. Don't forget to write that review. Win yourself a massage. And until next time, keep it tight.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Instagrams.
Instagrams.
Listen to Unstable Discourse on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or right from Buzzsprout.com. And if you have the time, leave us a rating and review. It helps the podcast get to more listeners.
Unstable Discourse is a Top Secret Studios production.
Suck on this. Yeah.